This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.
You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, answer this, ball.
Hail Satan. I submit to the dark side.
Get it right, bitch.
Spoilers.
That's right, it's not the ending of How It Stacks, it's the beginning of Small Screen Spoiler Show, episode number 11. I am
This is how we spoil.
Exactly.
Wait, what?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm CJ, literally his creation boat, and he's Jared Chimp with a machine gun as a veto.
Should have called that name. Should have called it. I had it ready days ago. He stole it right from under me. But yes, I'm here.
Legal Let's precedent.
Yes.
We are here to spoil you on all the shows that you may or may not be interested, because you deserve to be spoiled. Got you something nice for your weekly birthday or something.
Weekly birthday?
Yes.
A very merry unbirthday to you.
Exactly. And just like every other week, I'm here to remind you, just because we're talking about Season 1, Episode 9, Pimento of Better Call Saul, and Season 2, Episode 15, One Door Closer of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., does not mean that Season 2, Episode 3 of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't willing to be discussed, and also, Season 5 of Breaking Bad may also be discussed, because it's remotely put into these shows. So, just as a warning on that one, and of course, if you have not watched these and care about being spoiled, come back later.
Or don't.
Yeah.
It's your loss, though.
Yeah, really. Fantastic.
Come on. One door closer.
One door closer to the edge that I'm about to break or something? What?
Something like that.
I might be getting rock music and show titles mixed up. Hold on. And I'm also going to do a little bit of talk at the end of the show about iZombie. Not much, but a little bit, because, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
I'll listen to it.
Yeah, it's not going to get too spoilery, because it's kind of me just ranting into the internet, but... All right, so let's go ahead and get started like we should with Episode 9 of Better Call Saul, Pimento.
Pimento.
Indeed. All right. Pimento loaf.
They call it the caviar of the South.
Yeah, it's we got the origin of the pimento loaf that he tried feeding to Jesse. Why he's obsessed.
It's not the origin. It's just always been there.
Apparently,
anytime Mike goes on a job, he takes some pimento with him.
Hey, you know, some people bring guns, some people bring pimento loaf, you know.
That whole scene. Come on, man.
Oh, man. All right. So, this is the penultimate episode of this season. There are only 10 episodes in this season because AMC hates us.
Why?
Because AMC hates us.
Well, they're already giving us another season, so I guess we can't cry too much.
Yes, we can, because it's going to be a year from now.
A year?
Ish.
I thought they were doing like 8 months or something.
That's almost a year.
Not quite.
You're not disagreeing with me here. You're just getting into semantics at this point.
Okay. It may not be 2016, but it, I don't know.
If it's not, it's going to be like December.
All right, I'm just not going to think about it.
Yeah, because you're just going to get more and more depressed.
It's okay, I'll just watch season one again.
Yeah, right?
I bought it, so.
There you go.
I can watch it all I want.
All right, so, this episode continues on the, hey, we remembered we're a law show.
Like, all right, let's talk lawyer talk.
We go the entire episode. We go the entire season without hardly any lawyering, except for Jimmy reminding us that he's a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. Not I mean, actually we had a little doing bit in the courtroom scenes here and there.
Yeah, but mostly is comedic foil. He's not. He's usually not doing any active lawyering. Like the last time we saw him do any kind of lawyering was like episode 3, with the two moronic redheads.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, you've already forgotten about it.
Was there any actual lawyering in that? I don't remember.
It was close enough to lawyering.
I thought it was just conning.
Well, same thing. Again, you're not disagreeing with me. This coming from the person who is looking into becoming a lawyer. But yeah, lots of lawyer talk. Oh, man. So where do we want to begin?
I guess we're going to begin at the beginning. The Chuck and Saul, or Jimmy.
Chuck and Jimmy.
Someday I'm going to call him. Someday I'm just going to be able to call him Saul. It'll be Saul, and I won't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, right.
Sitting on a park bench in the sunshine.
Kicking their feet off. Kicking their shoes off.
Taking a breather and getting their big case together.
Out in the sunlight, by the way.
Oh, yeah. The birds are chirping. No crazy electricity noises or stressed out people. Just
he was freaking out,
Chuck's
though.
Still a little stressed.
He's a little bit freaking out.
He's a little stressed. He's like, okay, let's go back in now.
Yeah. I'm done. Let's go.
Okay.
But we got all of the case files together. Chuck readying Jimmy. Man, this is hard to talk about. I'm not going to lie. Like,
then he drops the bomb on him. It's like, we can't do this by ourselves, not just us two together. We need, like, way more resources. And that was true. Like,
yeah,
Chuck
they
wasn't
do.
Lying to him. But, man.
Aaron
like, I always knew
up.
It was Chuck. I always knew it was Chuck, you know? But I also thought that Hamlin was just a douche. But I guess he's not entirely.
No, he is
he
a douche.
He still comes across as one.
Well, remember, he did flat out put Kim into the basement office. Like, Hamlin is not an angel. Let's
no,
not.
But he's not as big of a douche as we made him out to be.
I honestly.
Or we were led to believe.
The
he
whole
was.
Thing with Chuck actually surprised me. I honestly wanted to believe.
Well,
that
it was. For me, it was. I always knew it was Chuck, but I thought his motivations were different. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was kind of I'm your big brother. I want you to, like, you know, pull up your own bootstraps and do this the right way and work your way up and not take any shortcuts and, you know, tough love type thing.
Yeah.
I did not expect his motivations to be, no, you're not a lawyer. You don't get to be a lawyer.
Yeah, you don't get to play with the big kid at all.
No. Oh. American Samoa Universe. Samoa. Dang it. American Samoa. I don't know why that's so hard for me to say.
I don't know. It's a Girl Scout cookie, dude. American Do you Samoa. Call those Snanoas? I want to go. I want two boxes of the Snanoas, please.
isn't that who leaked the NSA documents?
Yeah.
Edward Snanoa?
Yeah. Yeah, Edward Snanoa, yes.
anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's like, and I kind of get where Chuck's coming from a little bit, because, yeah, he knows Jimmy. He knows that Jimmy's a con man, and that's where the whole chimp with the machine gun line came from, is, I know what you
slip
are.
It Jimmy.
You're a con man.
Slip it Jimmy
with
I can handle. But slip it Jimmy with a law degree.
With a law degree.
Like a chimpanzee with a machine gun. I'm like, oh my God, that's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I know it was, right?
Like, I heard that, and I immediately had the document open putting that in there. Like,
I should have just taken it.
Like, immediately put that in there. It was either that or going to be the, you were going to be Jared, the house that Banner built.
I wrote that one down, too. But I didn't use it.
Yeah, as we discovered last week, our notes and our mind, our wavelengths are way too similar. It could be the reason why we constantly say the same thing at the same time.
Like, maybe. We're somewhere in there.
Even our first time meeting in real life, we start saying the same thing at the same time.
It happens. My note says, Hamlin, what's going on there? I guess I'd know what's going on with Hamlin.
Yeah, that was probably one of those kind of notes that you
I could scratch through
out.
That note.
Yep.
Okay, they revealed that.
Ew, she just put a brain down the freaking garbage disposal. Sorry.
Are you watching iZombie?
Sorry.
I need your focus here.
This is important. More on that later. Just that should give you an oversight of this show, by the way. She just put a brain down a garbage disposal.
Like you do. Like you do.
I'm not going to lie. I completely forgot my notes at work. So I'm completely vamping and building up your notes. All right.
Well, I think we pretty much covered it on Chuck and Jimmy.
Yeah, Chuck and Jimmy, yeah.
Which I feel like this is the turning point. Like, I always thought maybe something terrible happened and he had to change his name to Saul Goodman. But maybe he just hates his brother
so
at
this
much
point,
that he doesn't want his name anymore.
Yeah, at this point, I'm pretty sure, it's something along those lines. Just, you know what? Fine. I won't be a McGill anymore.
I will make my own way, and I'll show you. I'll show you guys.
Didn't he say in Breaking Bad, didn't he say his name was another name? Like, he had a different name when he introduced himself to, when he was dealing with Walton Pinkman stuff.
I don't remember. I mean, he was always Saul
Goodman.
Something
Jewish.
They had his commercials and stuff.
Well, it was something Jewish. Like something Steen.
I don't know.
And hold on. You talk.
you gotta look it up. Anyway.
Saul.
But since we're done with Saul, we need to talk about Mike.
Yeah. Oh,
we
gotta
talk about Mike.
Oh,
like Mike
and
the
we
dog.
Do.
We got Mike and the dog. Really? A dog? I'll give you all the money to take care of it. It's got all the shots. Like a dog. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that could be so sweet. That's, I don't know. Mike's just got lots of layers. That's what I like so much about Mike.
Yeah, he does. You are not wrong about that.
And then he's up in the parking garage that I'm pretty sure is the parking garage where the first attempt on Gus's life was made.
Yeah. Oh,
that looked really familiar. That looked like there was something really familiar about that parking garage.
I called that the product placement garage.
The product placement garage.
Because every single shot had a different product placement in it. Literally every.
Notice.
You had AT&T, you had Hilton, you had literally between people's heads product placement. Like, this is perfectly framed, clearly. By the way, Gene, he said his name was Gene and he was dealing with Jewish associates.
Ah. The many names of Saul Goodman.
Yes.
Or Jimmy McGill.
I remember I heard something like he said his name was something else and he dealt only with Jewish clients.
Love it. We got Mike in the garage and the other two guys.
I'm a little upset.
And then the, huh?
I am a little upset about that scene. Like
when he
was whooping Smartass's ass, I was hoping he was going to choke him out just so I could hear you say choke a bitch again.
Oh, no. He didn't choke him. He just throat punched him. Knocked him to the ground.
Yay, dude. Whack. Man, Mike just showing how much of a badass he is.
I love it. Like, take my gun from me. Go ahead. I'll make it easy for you.
You don't have to make it easy for me.
Why don't you make it high?
Bam, poop, pow, pow, pow. Oh, holy crap.
Big dude running away.
You want a gun? It's like, and it just throws all the guns in the garbage can.
Yep. I get all 1,500 now, right?
Yeah, that seems fair.
Oh, that guy. Oh, my God, that guy. If that guy was... That is one of the most Vince Gilligan Breaking Bad castings has ever been.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I'm like, that dude was handpicked by Vince Gilligan. Clearly. We need somebody awkward.
Walking down the streets like you. I need you.
You're perfect. How
I need
about
you
I throw
to play,
a truckload of money
I need
at
you to play a criminal. It's like, what? Me? Really? Yes.
Oh, man.
Because that's what I do. I take people who don't look like anything special and make them terrible.
Right? Well, he wasn't really terrible. I'm sure this guy was like...
I mean, he's not terrible. He was just...
I'm sure he was like, hey, these people are willing to spend a lot of money on these pills that I'm probably a pharmacist and have a lot of access to. And my daughter has cancer or some crap because that's what these shows do.
Yep, pretty much. Mike laid that all out and explained it clearly. I should have recorded that whole little explanation from Mike.
Yeah,
that basically explains all of Vince Gilligan.
Yeah,
shows and how they work. You have good bad guys. You have bad guys, and you have bad good guys. You know, nobody's.
Rachel says that they're just like Disney people and killing parents. It's like Vince Gilligan picking out really awkward people and making them extremely bad.
But you finally got your Mike and Nacho moment. Mike and Nacho together at last.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite the Mike and Nacho power hour, but
no,
it was Mike and Nacho.
Yeah, it was definitely Mike and Nacho, and I'm sure that there's going to be a fallout later about that when, like, Saul does a job with covers Nacho and Mike does a job for him or something, and
maybe
there's going to be some kind of fallout.
Something's going to happen, but Mike's going to come out on top because he does his research.
No, oh, yeah, he does.
I love
just,
that.
Oh, it just shows like, how good of a character
we need the full amount. It's like, really? You gonna let this job go bad for $20? Are you? Nope.
$20. I was really like, expecting.
Wow, how did Mike call him on his bluff?
I was really expecting him to shoot him. Like when he went to go grab the 20 that was floating away. I'm like, you moron! He's going to shoot you in the face. Like yeah, you were gonna turn too. Around to a gun in the face.
Yep.
Nope. No, he didn't. And okay, he's gonna hit him with the van. No, wait. All right.
No, well, went smoothly.
That went different than I thought it was going to. Clearly, I didn't.
We don't
do
need
my
three
research.
Guys, and we don't need a gun.
Oh man.
Because that man is Ignacio so and so. He's working for his boss, but he's doing this on the side, so it's in the best interest this go down smoothly.
He does not want to anger Tuco Salamanca and
get
punched the freak out.
Punched to death. Nobody wants to get punched to death.
No, nobody. Poor cousin.
Poor guy.
The scene Nodos. With Mike wasn't very long. I mean, it was only maybe 10 minutes in the entire show, but it was really one of the more impactful moments in this. And I think it's mainly just because that this character is so shrouded in mystery and you wanted to know about him because the way they wrote this character is one of the best written characters of all time, in my opinion. Like, dramatic characters, like, episodic dramatic characters, this Mike is one of the best ones I have ever seen. You want to know why he acts like he acts. You want to know why he acted how he acted. Why he got so mad when Walt sold him out and, Walt got him killed. And yep. Why he was so defensive of Jesse.
He knows people, and he can read people.
Yeah.
That's what makes him so good at what he does.
Oh, so good. But okay.
And he is good at what he does.
Oh, yeah. I was so happy, like, our micro spoiler show, when you watch the shows or I watch the shows and we, like, try and dance around the subject so we don't spoil too much for the show, which is great, by the way. I freaking love that. That we, like, do this weird knife dance so we don't ruin too much of the show.
Just
kind of,
like, say random words. Like, ah, pimento.
Yeah. And one of them was...
It's like, you watch Better Call Saul yet? Not yet. Okay.
And one of something you said, like, resonated with me. It was like, everything in this show is telegraphed. And, like, from minute one, I'm like, all right. It opened up on Chuck and Saul, and I'm like, oh, man. This is our... I'm already... Something is going to happen. Because I remember seeing Nacho in the preview, and I'm like, oh, no. First of all, the first thing I thought of was, oh no, Nacho is going to find them and he's going to probably kill Chuck. And then I'm like, and then as it started going along, I'm like, oh no, like as soon as he mentioned HHM, and I'm like, Chuck is going to sell out Jimmy. He's going to sell the hell out of his brother.
Not completely. You think he'll take the money, Jimmy?
I think he'll take the money just to spite.
Yeah,
just to spite
he'll take
them.
The money, and then he'll just start to use that to start his own thing. Is what
exactly.
I'm expecting. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm thinking he's not going to do this. He's not going to take like the honorable thing. I think he's going to take the money. He's going to start his own thing and just be like, you know what? F you guys. Clearly, I'm never going to get more money from you. Just give me my finder's fee, and we're done. I'm Saul Goodman now, bitches.
Drop the mic, walk away.
Yeah. I'm going to read an email from Daryl Shaler on this because I can't go an entire podcast without mentioning something from Daryl. And if you want to send an email, if you want to get in contact, exactly. If you want to get in contact with us, I will mention that at the end of the show. But Daryl sent in from Internet Land, Dear S4, so let's talk about Better Call Saul, specifically the ending where a charming, sympathetic character becomes a total dick. I went from loving to hating Chuck within a minute. So how did this show pull off this trick better than the other show that I love, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Character depth. As much as I love S.H.I.E.L.D., it's still very much a fun genre show. When characters responded contrary to expectations, I didn't like it, even though they were reacting realistically to the death of a friend. Two-dimensional characters can only develop along a plane. Jumping out of a plane makes it feel uncomfortable and also dangerous, and hope they have a parachute. Chuck, however, is a fully realized three-dimensional character. The extra depth means he can surprise is because he has more than. What? That extra depth means he can surprise is because he has more than. Period. Basic set of emotions. Period. Or motivations. Period. I'm reading this verbatim. That extra depth means he can surprise is because he has more than, period, basic set of motivations, period. The same applies for Jimmy. He could go anywhere right now. There's no obvious character trope for him to follow. In creating a living, breathing character, the writers have freedom in what he decides to do. Except, you know, it is a prequel. Black lung. And that's been a running theme so far. Is this a show about conning people with insurance fraud? About Crazy Tuco? Is it about taking care of his brother? Is it Aaron Brockoviching a legal case about mistreatment of old people? By the way, fantastic job of using Aaron Brockovich as a verb. The plot meanders from point to point without really coming to a conclusion on anything because we don't need those elements to be closed off. The main character has freedom to choose not to go down that path.
Did you write this? What were you drinking when you wrote this?
I didn't. Really, Daryl? How many scotches or did you have when writing this? And final paragraph.
Because I think as editor-in-chief, you have to be fired now, Daryl. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right? And this is a fucking prequel. Imagine Star Wars Episode 1 if the characters had this much depth and freedom of choice.
And no Jar Jar.
Misa think it would have been a better movie. Misa think maybe just we'll without the blatant setting. Racism, it would have been a better movie.
There's a lot of things that would have made a better movie. The character depth would have been nice, yes.
Yes. So yeah, that was the email from Daryl, and like I said, we'll get the contact information at the end of the show. By the way, like I said, that was verbatim. I read that verbatim. And he even commented on it. No, I didn't read it when I put it into the notes of this has autocorrect mistakes in it, but it's fun to have CJ read them. Yeah, well, I will read them.
He wrote it on his phone?
I'm guessing he wrote it on his phone.
Maybe his tablet.
All right, so anything else on Better Call Saul before we head on out of there?
Nope. Let's talk about that Nazi stuff.
That Nazi stuff. Where's my button? Where's the thing? There's the thing. On to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 15, One Door Closes. Because I almost read closer again. Closes.
One door closes.
One door closer to the edge and I'm about to break. So, you remember the last two episodes I've talked about being slower. This one, not so much.
Nope. Those last two episodes where they were kind of building things and setting things up, yeah, they all came to a head here.
Oh, yeah.
I actually thought it might be a little farther out than this.
Yeah, right.
No. We're jumping right in. Here we go.
Both alrighty, feet in. Yeah, both feet in the pool. We're doing this.
Here we go.
All right. First of all.
Zeta's back!
Yeah!
It was a flashback, so she's still not alive, probably, but hey, at least they used her for more than one episode.
Yeah, the big ordeal of her being on S.H.I.E.L.D. for two episodes.
We got her for two episodes now.
Man, I have a feeling she'll be back. You didn't bring her back into it to not use her again.
I don't know, man. You never know.
Yeah,
this
right.
This is a Whedon show.
This is a Whedon joint, yeah. let's call that one like it is. By the way, who do you think he's going to kill in Age of Ultron? Since we had
you think
Coulson
somebody's
going to
die in Age of Ultron?
It's Joss Whedon. Yes, somebody's going to die in Age of Ultron. I mean, he killed Coulson in the first one.
It's true. Maybe, crap, I just forgot his character name. Don Cheadle. What's his name?
Oh, Rhodes? Rhodey?
Rhodey.
No.
Bucky? Maybe have the Winter Soldier show back up so he can die again.
Bucky will show back up, but you can't really, have him... Because of upcoming events that will most likely be played out in the movies, you can't really have him die.
No.
Maybe Hawkeye?
I have no idea.
Like, you possibly could have Hawkeye die.
Maybe. Jeremy Renner's contract up?
No, it's not. I don't know. I don't pay enough attention to Droopy Dog's contract. Those jowls. But we're not here to talk about
jowls,
that. He's so ugly. I don't understand. I do not like Jeremy Renner at all. Sorry. I'm so sorry I got on that tangent, but I do not like him one bit. All right.
Flashback. Nazi yep. stuff.
Got the day that the S.H.I.E.L.D. Nazi fell, stuff. As they literally called yep. it, the day that S.H.I.E.L.D. fell.
Indeed. And we get to see it from Mac and Bobby and Xena, whose name I can't remember. Hartley?
Lucy Lawless.
Hartwell.
I don't know.
Harley.
Xena and Adama's point of view.
That's right, Adama. Xena and Adama together. Whoever thought that would happen.
Just as you always knew it would. Eventually, Wonder Woman, Xena, and Adama in one room. Something about that does sound very porny.
Very porny.
Yes. A lot of the questions that I asked at the end of last episode really just immediately were answered right
yes,
away.
Yes, yes. They wasted no time. They just jumped right into it. I actually don't have a ton of notes on this, I guess because there was just so much action going on.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton of talking.
You have always with the Nazi stuff. Quote number one.
Yep.
That man had an axe, and now I have it.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I said out loud, I go,
that
is
was
he
a
auditioning
very
for Drax?
That was just a very Whedon line, I thought.
Yeah,
that man
you're
had an
right.
axe, and now I have it. Though it did leave its mark.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. That was definitely a
and
Whedon
then giving
comment.
And getting, you know, Adama saying it just gives it all that extra.
Of course.
Oof. And you are literally his creation. So I'm just like, oh.
When was that at? Like, what was oh. that? Or was that from
when,
Coulson to Fury?
Adama and Coulson are talking.
That's right.
And he's like, you know, I don't trust Fury anymore. He's like, well, Fury put me in charge. He's like, of course he did.
That's right.
Brought you back to life, and you are literally his creation. Ooh.
But
ooh,
like he
is,
was, but he was okay with
true.
Fury. He was okay with Fury during the day that S.H.I.E.L.D. fell. But, like, what happened between, like, then and now to make him hate Fury so much?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking, too. Because, like, in all the flashbacks, he's like, no, those are Fury's orders, and you got to follow orders, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we're going to get more of that in the next episode.
You have to,
because... I think
because...
there's whatever was on that ship that they were going to sink and then ended up not must be something pretty terrible.
I'm going to guess when he starts looking through the toolbox... Like, he's going to flashback and do that whole thing, and we're going to get more, another Samuel L. Jackson drop.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe you think Fury will show up again?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Before the season's over?
I'm sure he will.
Make him
if
in
only
for the
to
finale.
Tie it into Age of Ultron.
Ah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, like you said,
forgetting that that's coming
we
in.
We have another movie coming up in 4 weeks.
It's kind of a big deal.
They'll have an immediate tie into it and then something to deal with the repercussions of the movie 3 weeks-ish after that.
Right.
Because they obey by the Vince Gilligan rules of give you 2 weeks. After that, you're done. No more covering your butt.
Never, ever. And Lady Fight?
A badass Lady Fight. Yeah, that was a great fight.
Yeah. Like May versus Bobby.
Yeah, man.
Mockingbird. That was awesome.
Such a good fight.
Good fight.
I like
well played, Simmons.
Yeah,
well played.
Both Fitz and Simmons in this had some great like
finally, I don't hate you so much anymore.
Yeah, Gemma finally stopped being a bitch for a couple of minutes.
Oh, where is it? Here, hold this and hold this. And, okay, I got her.
Yeah, hold this. Got her. Done.
Well played. You fooled me.
Oh man. Yeah. It. And I genuinely think, like, she's finally realizing that Sky didn't purposely kill Trip. And I genuinely think she's trying to help.
Seems to. Which, yeah. Exciting stuff. S.H.I.E.L.D. is now finding itself or something.
Yeah.
It's like snake eating its own tail. It's very circular, and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. We definitely have no clear direction at this point, and they're going to have to wrap it up.
I don't know what's
going to
happen now.
Because, like I said, you have 4 weeks before the movie, and you have no breaks between it. ABC is going straight through this. So,
hold on to your butts.
You have no, we'll be back after the break option. Like, especially on Tuesday nights, no, there's nothing. You're just ramming right through this.
That's what she said.
Yes. And, I mean, you have to wrap it up before Spring Sweeps is, I believe, Memorial Day or Labor Day. I get the two mixed up all the time. Memorial Day weekend?
I don't know.
Labor Day weekend? Whichever one is in May.
I have no idea.
You have sweeps that week, which means you have to have your big hitters that week. And I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for a new season. So, I mean, you can't just wrap up the storyline. You have to actually have something to continue on to the next season.
Indeed.
It I don't know. And I suppose it's a good story when I don't know how it's going to end.
Yes, there's no telegraphing here. I have no idea where it's going. I mean, I know some pieces and parts, but I don't know how they're all going to fit together and how it's going to circle back around.
Yeah,
and
I
come
mean,
together.
They did kind of disprove my that shield being SSR theory and Fury's shield being weird Fury's shield. I mean, it's all one shield until Fury did something to piss off Adama.
You don't want to piss off Adama.
Never want to piss off Adama.
Never. So, the house that Banner built.
The house that Banner built.
Let's discuss that and everything that happened there. And that's all the notes I have after that, unless you got more.
No, I got it. That's pretty much where my last. Ended. Yeah. Yeah, I saw, like, the hand... She was doing the stuff on the wall, and I saw, like, the handprint. I'm like, whose handprint is that? And then, like, 3 seconds later, the house that Banner built. Like, oh! Oh!
Oh, I knew immediately whose handprint that was. Oh, snap. She's in the Hulk house.
Though, what I think if you could get an Avenger to show up without breaking the bank, Ruffalo would probably be the cheapest Avenger between him and maybe Droopy Dog.
Yeah, him and Renner. I don't know.
It certainly isn't going to be freaking Robert Downey Jr. One thing I can almost guarantee you, Robert Downey Jr. will never show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But Sam Jackson, he'll show up for anything.
Well, he's doing credit card commercials now. He's doing stuff for paychecks at this point.
Like he needs paychecks.
Yeah, right? I think he stopped doing major parts with Unbreakable, and at this point he's just paying bills. Because, I mean, Snakes on a Plane, like, he caught a big break with this, but I'm pretty sure at this point, since he's doing Capital One commercials, they can get him on TV.
Yeah. He's the Snakes on the Plane thing and Star Wars.
Yeah, right?
And everything. He's in everything.
He really is.
I think
is.
He just doesn't say no. He never says no. He doesn't care if he gets paid $5 or $5 million. He'll show up.
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me if we had a Banner drop in this. Because, like I said, really the only one that would probably be able to fit in a budget is Hammer Renner. Well, see, even Renner would be kind of hard to get now because he's doing his weird B-movie stint where he's in all of the B-movies ever. So that brings to him and Thor, and I seriously doubt they're going to drop Thor on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Seriously doubt it. No, I seriously doubt it. You've had two Sif drops, but I don't think you're going to get a Thor.
No. Speaking of Thor, I watched the Daredevil trailer.
Yeah.
Which, stay tuned next week, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I had to. And I love the little thing at the end there. It's like, well, maybe if he had a suit of iron or a magic hammer,
yeah,
it would explain why you're getting your butts kicked so bad.
Yes.
I'm excited. But yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. So Sky's there, Gordon shows up, and man, he's great.
Reader, baby! Woo! Gordon. I'm waiting for him to name drop the name Reader. Because it's clearly Reader. Him. Like, it's just a tease to comic book fans. Like,
I really, really like him.
Oh yeah, he's really cool.
I hope that I continue to like him. I don't want them to turn him on me, because I really like him so far.
a little bit of spoiler talk on a comic series that may or may not be related to this. Reader is almost like a mercenary for the Inhumans. There's two warring factions of Inhumans. There's a group led by Medusa, who is the good guys, and a group led by, I think his name is Graft, I want to say his name is, who are the uncanny Inhumans, which are the bad guys. And I'm using finger quotes for those who are not watching video. Because, as you know from comic books, those lines blur easily. They are indeed very blurred lines. Reader is initially working for Graft's group, but realizes that he's a dick and pledges his loyalty to Medusa. Now, given the fact that I seriously doubt they're going to give us the Queen of the Inhumans on a TV show. Her first. They might give us some hair, but they're not going to give us the Queen of the Inhumans on a TV show. I'm sorry. I'm going to guess he's working for the other group of Inhumans, and eventually will come over. Because you have to have a lovable teleporter. He's always the number one, like, he's always the fan favorite. You have to have the lovable teleporter. You have Nightcrawler. The Inhuman Nightcrawler has to be good.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. No.
Okay.
We'll see.
Making sure I didn't
like
lose you there.
And the effect of Sky doing her powers, like, that looked expensive.
With the water? Yeah, that looked expensive.
Just the water, but, like, at the end when, you know, she, like, destroys part of the forest
mm-hmm.
and explodes everything.
Yeah.
It's like, that was pretty. That looked expensive.
Right. I really like the effect with the water. I really, really like the effect of the water. And I liked how they described her powers as not just earthquake powers, as being able to affect the vibrations of anything. Kind of manipulating her powers to be like Gambit. With Gambit able to energize the inert kinetic energy in anything, she is able to tap in the vibrations of it. Again, we can't have X-Men in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so we have to freaking draw a line somewhere. Some dude is going to come out and he's going to pull like claws out of his arms or his fists or something. Mark my words, there will be a dude that has claws coming out of him that calls everybody like maybe Guy or something. Hey, you guy.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, bud. He's going to call everybody Bud.
Hey, bud. What's up?
And his name will be like
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Just Wolf or something.
That's right.
Like...
Oh, that's all I've got on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do you have anything else?
I got really nothing else on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right. Let me talk Arrow real quick, because I only watched one Arrow episode.
All right, so let's get into challenge shows. This is where Jared and I talk about shows that we challenge each other to watch that aren't necessarily in our every week we're going to keep it in order kind of thing.
Maybe. No promises.
Indeed.
I watched one episode of Arrow. Basically, the previous episode ended with Speedy, whose real name I can never remember.
Thea.
There we go. Doing drugs and getting in a car wreck and then getting arrested.
Yep.
So, naturally, Arrow's got to go after the guy who made the drugs. The Count, who was an interesting character.
So, this is the first episode with Count Vertigo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And basically ended with him overdosing the Count on Vertigo.
Yeah. Count Vertigo is the Arrow villain, so it should surprise you that he's going to come back.
Yeah, I had the feeling that that was not the last I had seen of him.
Yeah, he kind of, like, if you do the comparisons of Arrow to Batman, like, you should, because it's Batman with arrows, he basically takes the part of the Scarecrow.
Yes. Ah, okay. Count Vertigo. Yeah, because even the effect, they took that effect again.
Yep.
The old Scarecrow attack, whenever people got shot with Vertigo.
Exactly. Yeah, it shouldn't. He's not going to come back right away, but it's not. It should surprise you that he is a returning villain. There are very few people I'm willing to flat out just tell you that. But yeah, he's going to come back. He's basically Scarecrow.
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling. That does not surprise me at all, and I don't consider that a spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, if you do any kind of look up on Green Arrow villains, he's the one. Between him and the Black Archer, he is the one. Like,
that's what I got in mind.
Okay. It was a good, I remember enjoying that episode.
It was a good episode. It was a good episode. Still had a lot of the CW-ness of it, but not as much. It was a little less, which is nice.
At this point, you're kind of going marginally less of the CW towards...
It's working its way towards the goodness.
As you get closer and closer to The Undertaking, the further and further you get away from the CW.
And we'll see what I can get done before next week's show, because we have a lot of things to watch this next week.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to get done before the next show. That's my challenge show of Sherlock. It took me 4 days to watch episode two. It took me 4 days to watch episode two of Sherlock. Not saying I didn't like it. It just kind of dragged. You're completely right.
I told you the second one was
not nearly as good as the first one. Not in any way, shape, or form. Though, I mean, The Hounds of Baskerville, like, I liked that episode a lot, and I liked the source material a lot.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the book, it's interesting how they kind of, it's the same story, but they kind of modernize it.
Yeah,
retell it a little, and... It was very, I mean, it's neat how they tie into the original story.
Yeah.
Without telling it exactly the same.
Exactly. I mean, it just generally, it was enjoyable, but it wasn't as snappy as the Scandal in Belgravia episode. And, that was, I was kind of half asleep when I finally finished watching the episode. That was, what's his name at the end, right? Dude
Moriarty?
With the face. Moriarty.
I don't remember. Probably.
He looked a lot like him. By the way, I can't not think of Moriarty as a B+ John Sim from Doctor Who, like, who plays the Master. He looks a lot like him, but is not as good of an actor. Like...
We'll see. We'll see when you watch the next episode.
I'm probably not going to. I'm probably not going to start it this week.
No. That's when you really need to sit down and watch the whole thing at once.
Yeah. I have some time. Well, I might watch it this weekend. I have some time this weekend.
The third one is good, and you really do need to sit down and watch it all at once.
But
and
I probably will take notes for
and
it.
The dude that plays Moriarty won awards for that episode. So
fair enough. Okay.
Maybe you'll change your mind on his acting
He didn't impress me in season one. Okay. Let's put it that way.
Well, he was only in like one scene.
Yeah.
Acting totally insane. But that's kind of his thing.
So I'll probably do a full out like note taking session of it. It's gonna be like 2 weeks before I'm actually able to talk about it. Because like I said, I know what happens kind of ish in that episode.
Yeah.
So because I not only don't care about spoilers, sometimes I accidentally stumble across them because I'm looking up things that are probably going to spoil me. Like I'm watching Lost Girl like on the side just for that's normally my bedtime show because it's a fun just shut my mind off but still interesting enough to keep my pique my interest while I'm trying to go to sleep kind of thing. And my God, that show is weeding so hard it hurts. But like
I said that when we watched the pilot. This show is really trying hard to be a Whedon show.
It goes from Angel to Buffy real quick, and it almost comes off as a lampoon to Buffy, but not like, but at the same time, homage. But yeah,
one note I had on the Arrow episode. Mm. There was more Felicity, which is always a good thing. So
yes.
keep that up, Arrow.
Oh, you're gonna love when you get to the point where you're able to watch The Flash and you get both Felicity and the girl who plays I can't not call her by her comic book name, and that's gonna spoil the shit out of that show. the main female lead in Flash. They're in several episodes together, and oh, that's a whole lot of hot. That is a whole lot of hot, smart girl, and I'm like, it's hard for me to contain.
Gotcha. It's okay. It's okay.
All right. And, all right. On to my little single going on a rant show. I was going to do this separately, but I really haven't had the time because of my knee. When I have time, I'm usually on pain medication and not really able to record anything. So I'm going to tentatively call this.
Do you have a title card for it?
I do not. So I'm going to take down that. And actually, give me a couple seconds here and I'll get one. A zombie title card. Hold on. I got this. That's Supernatural. Why does Supernatural come up? The hell? Here we go. That's fine. Use this one for right now. Save image as. Yes. Shut up. Just save it. I'll redo it later. Doing it live, damn it. Drop that there. There we go. There. Now nobody can yell at me. That's not the one that'll be up there
chopsticks.
If I do this again. Yes, geez, brains with chopsticks. iZombie, based on the comic book of the same name, but has nothing to do with it, even though I've only read one issue. This show is freaking amazing. And a lot of what I'm going to say is actually in like the preview for the show. She gets turned into kind of a zombie, but she doesn't actually die from her wounds. In this show, the zombie infection is just that. It's an infection. It grows over time if not treated. It's treated by eating brains. The more brains you eat, the less insane you are. So this girl, and yeah, right? But the makers of the show are the same people who did Veronica Mars. So if you like Veronica Mars, you are going to absolutely freaking love this show. Because it is straight up Veronica Mars with zombies. So far that's the only supernatural thing in this show, but it won't surprise me if it gets some vampires in eventually. Right now I think they're just trying to establish the, she's a zombie detective kind of thing. And she's cute. She's really, really cute. And she's a great actress. And it's really funny. And it's a smart funny. So this is the kind of humor that I actually really, really like, where I actually have to think about what they're saying. And then I laugh. We've been through this. I don't like lovable idiots. And there's really no lovable idiots in this show. If they are meant to be liked, they are smart. They are quick. Even the detective who is useless, let's put it this way, he fulfills the useless detective trope, but he's still an enjoyable character. But in the first episode, you go from her putting, a guy's brain into a bowl of ramen noodles heating them up and then dumping super hot sauce on them, because that's the only way she can taste things, is if it has at least, quote unquote, 6 chili peppers next to it on the menu. She has a heartbeat. Her resting heartbeat is 10 beats per minute, but she has a heartbeat. She still has emotions. She still has everything like that. She is her. She's just pasty and eats brains. 3 episodes are out right now. I would really suggest going to see the pilot at least. I'm usually not a huge fan of pilots, and this show hooked me on the pilot. Like, it really, and Rachel's the same way. Like, Rachel doesn't like zombie stuff. She's not a Walking Dead person. She's not any of that kind of, if she's nocturnal stuff, it's vampires pretty much. That's her nocturnal weirdo weakness. Oh, yeah. And hunky werewolves.
Nocturnal weird weakness? What was that?
Yeah, her nocturnal weakness is vampires and hunky werewolves.
Seems legit.
And, like, zombies, not her thing at all. I watched it one morning before work, and I'm like, oh, this show is great. Rachel would actually really like this. And Rachel's like, well, I don't know. Because we're watching, I've got her addicted to Flash, and kinda-ish Arrow. But no, you enjoy it even when he's not on screen now. And Arrow mainly when Steve Armel has his shirt off. Which is 90% of the show. And so even she's like, she sees the previews for it and she goes, I've never heard of this show. I've never watched it. And I'm like, all right, fine. I've recorded it because it's a comic show. I'm like, Warner Brothers has been knocking this out of the freaking park. Let's watch this too. And yeah, the pilot is amazing. Seriously. Yeah, we tried watching it last night. It was too tired. Wasn't going to happen. And today, like, I put it on and at the end of the episode, she's like, is there another one? And then I was doing the pre-show for this. I was doing the pre-show for this, and it was episode 3. And she's like, is my show still on? And I'm like, wow. So it's a really fantastic show. It's really, really good. And I would suggest checking it out. Probably not going to be an every week kind of thing, but this is just something I felt it was kind of good to talk about since it's the new show it's currently on. It's free. Still up on CWTV.com for those who are cord cutters. And I think all 3 episodes are currently still free. Just with their whole, like, same commercial 17 times. On that note, we're going to go ahead and head on out of here. If you want to get in contact with us, email is geekioshow@gmail.com. Twitter is geekioshow. We have a phone number that people can call now. One of them, their regular old phone numbers. If you want to leave us a voicemail to play on the show, you can. That is 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. Leave a voicemail there, and we will play on the show. If you want to view our website, which has all of our previous shows, all the other content, and all of the ways that you can support us, it is at geek-io.net/spoilershow. And if directly supporting us is patreon.com/geekio. All right. So what show titles do we have that we can play around with?
Oh, you want me to read them?
Yes.
We have Ranting into the Internet, Edward's Nananoa, Kicking the Ass's Ass, Nobody Wants to Get Punched to Death, Dat Nazi Stuff, Dim Jowls Dough. I like how those kind of go together.
Yeah, right.
Xena and Adama Together at Last, and Veronica Mars with Zombies.
All right. I like that one because it's not really related to anything, but it's SEO to hell and back. All right,
folks.
Have
to fight about it.
Yeah, right. We'll have an extremely very loud, abusive argument. Probably not, but you know, it's fun saying. On that note, folks, we're going to go ahead and head on in here. We will see you this Thursday for the Geek.io Summer Movie Smackdown, and right back here next week where we finish up Saul, bring back Gotham, whip the crap out of New York with Daredevil, and of course S.H.I.E.L.D. is there too. Bye.
Always. Bye-bye.
This has been a Geek.io production. Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek. Geek and Geek.